Now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
It is time we brought this cause into the public eye.
What cause?
It's the Steve Cochran Show.
Ready when you are, buddy.
On 720 WGN.
Actually, one of my favorite causes. My friend Debbie Grisco, the boss at Almost Home Kids. And now in two locations. How are you, Deb?
I'm great, Steve. How are you?
Thanks for being on.
Oh, thank you. Wait, it's early.
Stop whining. Almost Home Kids is what, for folks who haven't heard you on with me in a while?
Well, Almost Home Kids actually is a nonprofit group, and we actually have two sites, like you said, one in Naperville and one in Chicago, 12 beds at each one, and we transition children who are medically fragile. So these children who have real complex medical needs and have a lot of medical equipment, and we transition them out of intensive care units to hospitals and teach the parents how to take care of them and with their new equipment and get all the nursing set up and all the other things involved and get them home.
These are beautiful little kids who are in really, really rough shape medically and need 24/7 care, right?
Right, exactly. And then once we get them home, and we're so excited about that, they come back for respite care to give the parents who, you know, really, it's a lot of work and a lot of worry and things to take care of these children 24/7 to give them a little bit of a break so they come back for respite care. So we do a lot of fundraising to provide that service for them.
I always tell people to really get a sense of the work that your folks do at Almost Home. You need to go and tour either facility. What's a website so people can get a hold of you if they want to do that or make a contribution
sure.
or whatever?
Sure. It's on www.almosthomekids.org. And then if you just go right to our website and can see what we do. And my very, very favorite thing is to actually tour people and show them what we do and meet our children and our fabulous staff that work for us.
And once you meet Deb, your life will change because Deb, Deb doesn't take no for an answer. And she shouldn't because she's doing great work. And all right, so you got an event coming up. Plug it.
Oh, yeah, great. So we have our big black tie event in Chicago, and it's actually this Friday at the Drake Hotel at 6:30 in the evening. And it is just absolutely wonderful evening. We have the Red Moon Theater Group entertaining us during the cocktail hour. And then we have Janet Davies is actually our MC. We have the Ken Arland Orchestra, and we have the Night Blue Performing Arts, which will be entertaining us during the dinner hour also, too. So it is just a fabulous, fabulous evening. And I'm making a very big surprise announcement that night, so you have to come to hear that, too. And we're also honoring three organizations and people. Robert Degnan, who is Senior Counsel Baker McKenzie, who has done an enormous amount of pro bono work for us. He's just a fabulous, fabulous guy. I absolutely love him. Tim Gerken, who's the CFO of Walsh Construction, who is also done amazing, amazing fundraising for us. And then PricewaterhouseCoopers, who have taken us on as a pro bono client and have done just amazing fundraising and pro bono work for us, too. So just come. It's just such an exciting evening.
Yeah, and I don't even know the surprise announcement. So I guess, I'm going to have to show up. I know I'll be parking cars that night, but I'm going to get some work on the weekends. But it's a great, great organization, and I can't say enough good things about what you and your people do every day. So, again, give them the website for more information.
Sure. It's www.almosthomekids.org. The tickets are $300 each, which I think is such a steal for a fabulous black tie evening at the Drake. So, and we have a wonderful group of women that run this for us, and so please come out. And I have to say, Steve, I have to say, if you would say happy birthday to my mom, that would be great, Margaret.
Nice.
Yes, and here's my thing. So she's got one request from you. She'd like you to extend your hours till 10 every morning because she goes to Mass at 8:30, comes back at 9, and you're already off the air, and she's really upset about that. She'd like you to stay up till 10 if you wouldn't mind.
Well, there's very few things I would say you should give up, but I'm not going to tell her to give up Mass. I'm willing to take a back seat to Mass. I'm willing to see the big picture there, but God bless her. Here's a hug. And happy birthday. All right, Deb, good luck. I'll talk to you.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Take care.
That's Debbie Grisco from Almost Home Kids. Deb is one of those women. More, you know, and there's men like this as well. But they show you what they do, and you go, how can I help, and what do you need? Well, you know Deb. You've met Deb.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
So it's a great organization, Almost Home Kids. 6:16 in the morning. Karen Conti, your legal troubles text in your fake story about someone else that's not you and their legal problems.
Your friend.
Your, she's making a quote sign.
Yeah.
We'll get to those texters coming up, and Karen Conti coming up on The Law. We got some legal cases to discuss as well. And we're going to add one more person to the state of stupid. Again, we're annexing part of the Dakotas. And that'll be good, too, because when you take away part of the Dakotas and you call the other one Dakota, you know, it's good. Be good that they would border the stupid camp that
that
I'm setting
sense,
up.
Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski, the New England Patriots tight end, who is just back from extensive surgeries. What's that, how many, 20, 25 surgeries on
something
his elbow?
Like that, yeah.
And Gronkowski was back, caught a bunch of balls on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he seems to make Tom Brady happy.
He's a good player.
He's a good player,
if
but
he can stay on the field.
Dumber than a wall. And we know this because we actually had him talk to a wall, and he did it. That was really the entire test. But Gronkowski is about to host a women's football clinic at Harvard. Let me just say that again. And I'm not kidding when I tell you, this is a stupid individual. You take all the cliches about stupid athletes, and he seems like a nice guy. You know what he seems like? A golden lab. You know what I mean? Like he's like a guy you'd want to pet. Yeah, a guy you'd want to take out for a walk. I'm pretty sure if you threw a ball, not a football, like a tennis ball.
He would fetch it?
He'd get it. He'd get it. He'd bring it back, and he'd probably wait for a treat. But he's going to be at Harvard. So once you get past that picture in your head, know that they'll be serving booze at his women's football clinic. Now, I realize as a professional, there's only so much you can do to limit the chance that your players are going to hurt themselves or hurt your team's image. But considering the New England Patriots have a former tight end who's about to go away for the rest of his life for at least one murder and maybe as many as three, maybe Rob Gronkowski would have someone close enough to him to go, maybe we dial it down just a touch, Rob, just for this season. Just for this season.
Maybe Tom Brady might be the guy to say that to him.
What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Giselle. Remember Giselle stepped up a couple of Super Bowls ago?
Yes, she did.
Can't throw it and catch it, too. Maybe she has a nice talking to him. I just think co-eds at Harvard and booze, probably not a great idea.
Bad combo.
Probably not
a
great idea.
But they're gruntinis.
Hey, Ann, come in here for a second. Ann Johnson is the executive producer of the program. Ann went to Yale, so I'm sure you're not a big fan of Harvard. How would you describe the women of Harvard? Are the women of Harvard heavy drinkers and partiers?
I don't know what they're like anymore.
You're not really here for specifics. You're here to generalize.
Generalize?
Yeah.
So back in my day, when my nickname was One Can Ann...
right. Which, by the way, is one of the reasons you got hired.
That's exactly right. People drank pretty heavily, but not every night. It was like you waited until Thursday, and then you really drank on the weekends, and then you studied.
This is a part that amazes me, because I grew up, believe me, I didn't go to an Ivy League school, but I grew up essentially on the campus of Cornell University.
Yeah.
So I saw the Ivy League kids growing up, but I was a townie.
Oh, yeah. Town versus gown, baby.
Yeah. So, Dave, you went to Northwestern. Was it a strong academic school when you went there back in the 30s?
No.
First of all, it wasn't the 30s, Steve. And secondly, it's not what it is today. It was a great school, but today, I mean, it's...
Were you in a fraternity? I was just kidding.
I was not.
Okay.
Were you in a sorority?
Whenever I could,
but
unfortunately, that wasn't often enough as far as I was concerned.
He got a bid.
Well, the reason I bring up the Gronkowski at Harvard thing is because Harvard has pretty girls, too. So Gronkowski probably found all 12 of them, and they'll be showing up at this party where they'll be. But I promise you, there's at least a 51% chance that Gronkowski's going to be back in elbow surgery by the morning after this event.
He'll be drinking Gronktinis.
Yeah.
That's his ploy. That's why.
They're called Gronktinis?
That's what you get if you go to the Football 101 clinic.
Oh, yeah.
You get a T-shirt, you get a photo with him, his autograph, and a Gronktini.
Now, do women at Harvard play that whole game where they pretend they don't know stuff? I would think if you're a woman at Harvard, you'd probably never say you don't know stuff, including about football.
This is true. Harvard and Yale are different, you know. But I'll say that there weren't a lot of people who admitted any kind of ignorance.
Yeah, you know, you're all cocky. All you Ivy Leaguers. And by the way, I include you in that, innit? Because Northwestern's close to an Ivy League school.
You had me at the word cocky.
All right, here's the sign up for this thing.
Yeah.
So right at the top in big bold letters, Rob Gronkowski Football 101 Women's Clinic, in parentheses, all caps, must be 21 or older. And then you scroll down, you see sessions, Rob Gronkowski Football Clinic, start time 5 p.m., end time 8 p.m., ages, no limit. So right there.
No limit to the partying?
I have a feeling that the Harvard people didn't put together the sign-up sheet.
Doesn't look that way.
Yeah,
math is not his strong suit.
So, all right, so Rob Gronkowski, do we agree he's going into the stupid camp? Let's put him in a stupid camp.
Absolutely.
All right.
Orange jumpsuit.
Rob Gronkowski. Yeah, and that was a great idea. Ann brought this up off the air, but apparently, Andrea, a listener suggested that all of the jumpsuits identifying you as a member of the Cochran Show Stupid Camp would have I'm with stupid signs on them.
Right.
That the arrows would point everywhere.
Right, different directions.
Left, right, straight, up, down, all of it.
And somebody else pointed out, too, there already is a stupid camp.
Yeah, D.C. Yeah, Washington, D.C. It's Congress. Yes.
I love our listeners.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti is from Bierman, Bierman, and Bierman.
You want answers?
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
You're out of order.
You're out of order.
Oh, guilty, but with a real good excuse.
Call the first witness.
Karen Conti joins me now. And you on the radio Sunday night?
I am, from 8 to 9 with Brian Noonan.
And what sort of crimes has Brian Noonan committed? Do we know?
Everything. That guy's a walking felony.
I would say that's probably right. we want people to jump in with their questions about their friends. 312-981-7200. Karen can't, you know, get you off the hook or keep you out of the Huskow. I don't even know where the Huskow is, but I know my dad used to say that. You could also text 24-720. We'll get to some of those questions coming up. But let me start with one that I didn't even hear about. You sent me this link. Ohio's considering a law prohibiting smoking if you have kids in your car.
Yeah. I think it's a great law. I'm not a big smoker, but the idea is that, you know, it's bad for kids. And the police have the right under this law to pull people over if they see a young child sitting in a car with someone smoking. And I think it's a very good law. Only a few states have that law, and I'm surprised. I took a look at it. I thought more states would actually have something on the books, but this is, you know, it's kind of unusual. I think Illinois should have a law like this.
Well, let me ask you, Counselor, because I don't smoke either. But I grew up around smokers. Why should we deprive kids from what I had as a child, where my father smoked about the equivalent of a North Carolina tobacco farm every day, and he always made sure the windows were rolled up when I was in the car? Why should kids be deprived of that? I used to smoke hams in the back. That's how much smoke was in the car. So, I understand what you're saying, but at some point you got to draw the line, don't you? Because parents have a right to, you know, do whatever they do to their kids if it's legal.
Well, you know, they do, but look at all the laws we passed for non-smoking in restaurants and different places, and the reason is we don't want to subject people to secondhand smoke. It's dirty, it's smelly, and a kid doesn't have a choice. And, you know, if parents are going to do that to their kids, I just think that's wrong, and I think lawmakers do have to step in and say that. You know, I've handled cases with custody issues where the court will consider the fact that one parent smokes in the house with the kids, and they look at the best interest of the child, and they certainly consider that. So,
no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the factor for custody, but it's a factor. I'm going to call up Mike Madigan. I'm going to tell him to get a law together.
Yeah. Well, you do that because Madigan's really good at responding to people. All right, let me ask you about Kevin Trudeau. You know, I remember back in the old Loop days when he used to hang around with Bonaducci, and he'd be around the hallways. And I remember looking at Kevin. I'd talk to him for a while, and I'd go, that guy's a criminal. Well, it turns out he is. He is now, along with having a tremendous amount of restitution, he apparently was hiding assets in regards to not disclosing what he should have for the criminal mess he's already in.
Yeah, what happened was he got hit with, found guilty of something. I guess it was just fraud and all kinds of stuff. And he was hit up with a $37 million restitution order, meaning he's got to pay that back. And so what was happening was he was going out and spending $12,000 on cufflinks, saying it's for his wife. I don't know why his wife would wear cufflinks. And, you know, tooling around in all kinds of cars and doing all this kind of stuff. And the judge said, listen, I'm holding you in contempt of court, meaning you are violating my order. You're not showing respect for this court. You're violating what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm going to hold you in contempt until you pay. And what happened in court yesterday, I believe, or 2 days ago, the judge said, all right, I'm done with you. You're going to jail. You're going to be in the Metropolitan lockup until you purge. And what purge means is you have to pay some money to make good on this restitution. So, what he was doing was pretty blatant, though, Steve.
Once you get arrested or you're brought in and there's a financial accounting of things, whether it's your divorce or whatever, I mean, it seems so logical. I'm just thinking hiding assets probably never ends well, does it?
No, it doesn't. And judges take this thing seriously. And it's interesting. Once a judge says, all right, you didn't pay this back. You didn't pay this child support. You're going to jail. You know what happens? Somehow, somewhere, that money comes. It comes up from who knows where. And because the person doesn't want to be sitting in jail. And that's unfortunate that a judge has to do it. But that's the way it works.
Any idea how this Quinn appeal of his shut down the paychecks till they fix the pension problem thing will do on appeal?
I think it's going to lose. It's lost on the lower court. I think it was inappropriate for him to do that. I thought it was a good show of politics. But from a legal standpoint, I don't think he had the right to do it. So,
well, that's a problem. The law gets in the way of trying to fix problems. As you know, in my world, the law would only work in accordance with whatever we needed to get things done. Now, some
right.
people say, what are you, in the mob? Well, yeah, kind of. Because
it would be called the Cochran Code.
Yes, the Code de Cochran. Because Madigan and Cullerton and everybody else in Springfield in the weasel category haven't fixed the pension problem. They're not going to fix it anytime soon. So, at least for a while, Quinn got everybody's attention.
Yeah. No, it was a good move, but it's not going to survive in the courts.
Actually, that's Pat Quinn's move. We just figured out what Quinn's move is. Quinn's move is to shut down the paychecks, and I endorse it. From the texters in Milwaukee, a friend of mine, let's call her Sydney, just started working at a gas station. The owner told her if someone drives off and doesn't pay for the gas, she has to pay for it herself. Is that legal for a boss to do to an employee?
You know, I don't think it is. I know that there are rules about that, but I just don't think it is because there are minimum wage laws. And certainly if someone buys gas, especially these days, and runs off, that will probably diminish her payment to lower than minimum wage. So I don't think it's legal. But, I don't practice law in Wisconsin. It's probably a federal law, though. So something I could look up if they gave me a call at the office.
All right. And the fact of the matter is, if you are a boss, you can, as you've established many times, you can fire people pretty much for any reason you want, as long as it's not discrimination, but you can't take extra money out of their pocket in this manner.
Yeah. I mean, we see this in restaurants too, you know, where people walk out, they dine and dash. And I've handled this before where I've made, called up the employer and said, you can't do this. This girl doesn't even make minimum wage and this is not appropriate. So, I'll look it up, though, and I'll see that. I'll see whether a boss can do that.
Interesting question. Susie, go ahead.
Hi there. I was wondering if there's any way to get my ex-husband to pay child support if he lives in another state and he doesn't actually have a wage. He has businesses.
Your phone's fuzzing out a little bit. Your ex-husband lives in another state. So is he behind in child support now?
Yeah, yes,
by a lot of money.
Yes.
And does he see the kids? Does he have visitation?
They allowed him tremendous visitation, but he gave it up.
All right.
Well, he just hadn't seen him in 6 years.
Well, he sounds like a peach. I'm shocked you're not with him. Congratulations on your freedom, by the way. Put Susie on hold since we appear to have problems with me handling the phone system. And let me get Karen back here. All right, Karen, we lost you briefly, but the question is, husband lives out of state, is massively behind in child support. What's the next move?
You go back to court and you get an order for a judgment against him and even an order of contempt of court. And there will be ramifications. I don't know what state he lives in, but It could be that he could lose his license. It could be a number of things. Also, which he should have is an order of withholding, which means that it gets an order goes against the employer if he's employed. I'm assuming he's employed.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, I could be overreading it, but it sounds like he might be hiding some money in a business. I mean, that's findable, right?
Yeah, you know, but if you issue the order against the employer then has the obligation to pay. And if the employer doesn't, there are all kinds of fines and penalties on a daily basis if they don't. So there's some things that she can do. Also, if she's in Cook County, the Cook County state's attorney has a division of child support. And if she doesn't have the money to hire a lawyer, she can go there and have the state's attorney's office do it for free.
I would also encourage you, Susie, to get a hold of Karen at the office. Let's see. Liz, you got a prenup question?
I do.
Go ahead.
The prenup question is, my boyfriend he put three boys through college, and he's got a rather quite large educational loan it's old now. And we're thinking of getting married, and I want to know if I can have a prenup for the debt like you have a prenup for...
Ah, that's interesting.
The money.
That's very interesting. So would that be covered? Would that be covered? Put Liz on hold for me. Thank you, Liz. Would that be covered as part of a traditional prenup, Karen, where I love the guy, but he has got debt up to his eyebrows and he may have more? Would she be protected from that in a prenup?
Well, yeah. Normally speaking, prenups are a great idea. I'm a big one for prenups. You know, it's the most important contract of your life. Might as well put it in writing. Might as well talk about what happens if the contract ends, because half of all divorces end, marriages end in divorce. So, yes. On the other hand, I'm going to say that she would probably never be stuck with that debt if a divorce came about. However, if the courts don't, let's just say that a creditor tried to go after her. That creditor can go after her no matter what her prenup says. They don't care. If they think that she is on the debt, they can go after her. But again, this is something they probably would never do. It's in his name only. He was not married at the time. But I say yes to the prenup. Call me. I'll write you up a nice one.
So, Karen, as a general rule, we'll wrap this up, but as a general rule, separation certainly doesn't relieve you of marital obligations when it comes to debt. Does a final divorce decree relieve you of obligations because you have some sort of settlement on paper?
It can relieve you of obligations vis-a-vis your spouse, but a third-party creditor can still come after you. I mean, the order can say a husband pays the Sears bill, but Sears can still come after wife if Sears wants to do that.
And in the case of Liz or anybody getting married, you don't inherit debt, but again, anybody can sue anybody at any time.
That's right.
All right. Well, that's why we need lawyers and really, really good ones. And I don't know anybody better than Karen Conti and her friends at Bierman, Pritigan, Schnitzengruber, and Al. And again, what's the number at the office, Karen?
312-332-7800.
And Sunday night at what time?
From 8 to 9 with Brian Noonan.
That's Sunday night, 8 o'clock.